Do smartphones lead to more aggression in teenagers? A new study this morning says, yes, they do. And not only aggression, this study, which was published in the New York Post, also highlighted more hallucinations and detachment from reality for teens as young as 13 who are using their smartphones too much. Joining us now is Melissa Whitson, who is a professor of psychology at UNH. And Melissa, welcome to the show. Were you surprised by this new research?
Well, I was a little bit surprised by it because I think it's difficult to measure hallucinations and detachment from reality in 13-year-olds. So I went to the New York Post article and then I found the actual report of the study. And to be honest, I don't think we can put a lot of faith in the findings of this report. Scientifically speaking, it's not very rigorous and it has a lot of problems around how they collected data.
So let's dive into that a little bit more, Melissa, because that's we love to do that here on the show is when you see something in the headlines, which, by the way, if people didn't come across this, they'll read the first headline, maybe the first sentence, and then that's it. They've made a decision as to what's real and what's not. And just so people know, this article, which was published on January 23rd, says smartphone use leads to hallucinations, detachment from reality, aggression in teens as young as 13. That's the headline. And then it follows up by literally saying the very first line, smartphones are making teenagers more aggressive, detached from reality, and causing them to hallucinate, according to new research. So what you're saying, Melissa, is that is a very lofty statement to make. So what did you find, you know, doing a deeper dive into the research that was put forward?
Yes, this is a panic headline, and it's meant to grab attention. But if you click to the link in the report, you know, you'll see that everything that they're reporting are what we call associations, and they say it themselves, and that's not causation. So they're looking at relationships among a bunch of variables, and then they're saying that one thing is causing another, which we just cannot say. I mean, it could be that kids that are more angry or that are having hallucinations are actually going to the smartphones more because of that. So it could be the other way around. So that's making a lot of leaps and statements about one thing that's leading to another or causing another, and frankly is a little bit unethical in terms of how we're interpreting that data. And even in the report, they say that their findings are pretty inconclusive, you know, and they say, while this and although that. So if you go read the original report, you'll see that that's problematic, as well as the fact that the kids that they are using in this study, it's an online questionnaire. So they're recruiting them through Facebook and Google ads. So they're already online, right? So it's not what we call a random sample of students. And so, you know, that may be the case, but even hallucinations and detachment from reality weren't the top 12 things that these students were reporting. So I think these headlines are really misrepresenting the results of what this research did.
Interesting. So Melissa Whitson is here, who is a professor of psychology at UNH, and it is important to really dive into the details. As you also mentioned here, Melissa, I mean, the study, I mean, to make those types of accusations or to get, you know, from point A to point Z without looking at the rest of the alphabet is pretty alarming, especially because it looks like they only surveyed about 10,000 teens across the U.S. When you look at the amount of people who are using smartphones, and if you really only want to look at 13 to 17 year olds, perfectly fine. But I mean, this is, again, not only just in the U.S., it says that they also surveyed teens in India. So it seems like kind of a small pool, to be honest. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 10,500 teens between 13 and 17 is not a whole lot. I mean, it's significant. I don't want to say it's not significant, but it's not a lot, I would say.
Yeah. Now, it's clear that they came in with an agenda of pulling out smartphones as the bad, you know, ad, which is like, you know, very popular right now. And not that I would recommend a smartphone for a 9-year-old. My 11-year-old certainly isn't getting one anytime soon. But I think kind of focusing on one negative thing is, you know, takes away from all the actual evidence-based stuff we know works to promote well-being in adolescence, which is, you know, cultivating healthy peer and adult relationships, self and high-quality schools and neighborhoods, and access to resources. And so we really need to be paying attention to what's going to promote their well-being rather than trying to find one bad thing that's negatively impacting them.
Well, and let's dive into that a little bit more, Melissa, because you're right. I think knowing the actual facts about the well-being of our teens, and let's face it, certainly since the pandemic, there's been a huge focus on mental health, the high suicide rates, unfortunately, self-harm, depression, anxiety, stress, all of those things in youth in America. So we understand that there is an issue, no question, and smartphones may play a part in that, certainly. I mean, I think that's why you're seeing more and more school districts say, like you were mentioning, you have an 11-year-old. I know I have an elementary-aged student in my household, and we're not handing him a cell phone anytime soon. But to just to just pinpoint that it's one thing causing the issue can be very irresponsible. So what are the facts in front of people, Melissa? Just to reiterate why we're in the place that we are in America, which is that youth they are struggling with their mental health. Not everybody, but there is an overwhelming, amount of data showing that we've got a real problem in America right now.
Yeah. Well, obviously there's still some impacts from the pandemic and being isolated and things like that. And then, adults and youth alike relying more on not communicating in person. I think the youth are getting back to that a little bit more. But, really what we know that might be impacting their well-being negatively is kind of not having a lot of access to resources and not cultivating, those relationships between peers and between adults and having those safe and secure places. And so a lot of that got taken away during COVID, and we've been trying to put those back in place, but sometimes we're not putting our efforts squarely where they belong in that area. And really building kids' competence in areas that they're good at, whether it be school or other activities, that really kind of promotes well-being too. And it's what we call a protective factor against any negative things like that. Should we, rein in smartphone use, particularly in schools? Yes, I'm on board for that just because it interferes with learning. And also we know that one of the ways that kids think about their self-image, and adolescents are very prone to this, is through things like comparing themselves to others. And social media certainly feeds into that, not the phone, but social media. And so those are things that we certainly want to limit, but it's certainly not the cause of some of the mental health struggles. And honestly, the fact that, kids are more aware of the mental health struggles and more willing to identify it can sometimes be a good thing, because there used to be a big stigma against reporting that stuff. So now the stigma is less, which is good. But now we need to think about what are those factors that we know that promote well-being rather than trying to find something that's the negative cause of it.
Right. Well, and to your point, Melissa, an example is isolation is a huge problem, right? I mean, we know just for any age group, not just for teens, but isolation is a huge problem. Smartphones could be a tool to leading to isolation, but you just say the solution is removing the smartphone is again, I would say, a factor in what could lead to isolation. But to say that it is the main driver is where this study falls short, in your professional opinion.
Yes. I mean, I think the study falls short in many ways. But our kind of focus on making the smartphone to be the bad guy falls short because it's a very complex issue. And there's never one contributing factor. There's always multiple. And there's also multiple ways that we can buffer against any of that. And so because it's so complex, that makes it harder to explain to the public, and it's harder to get a panic headline for sure. But that's just the reality of the situation.
Melissa Whitson is here, a professor of psychology at UNH. We're talking about a new study that came out. Do smartphones lead to more aggression in teenagers? It was research that was published in the New York Post, and we've been talking about whether or not it's really true and sort of looking at the factors that went into this research. And I'd say somewhat irresponsibility releasing this type of information when it's certainly a factor in what could be leading to the mental health issues we're seeing nationwide. But to say that it is a definitive reason why there's aggression in teenagers, hallucinations, and, a loss of reality can be seen as very irresponsible. Melissa, I'm curious, from your professional opinion, what you would advise parents or families if they are worried about smartphone usage, or they read things like this, or they just worry about their children, their teens, their college-age kids. What do you suggest they do to bring more betterment, I guess, with mental health?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for younger kids, certainly if they do have a smartphone, if you make that decision, you know, you're the parent or caregiver and you can put limits around that. You don't, you know, even if it makes them angry or their friends aren't doing it, you can put limits and certainly none in the bedroom, you know, or anything like that. We know that that interrupts with sleep, which can lead to mental health issues, right? And so thinking about anything that might interrupt with their sleep is a big issue for sure to protect to promote their well-being. But also, you know, kind of having conversations with older kids about, you know, if you're worried about the smartphone, about that, but also just about their well-being in general. I mean, you know, your child, you can kind of tune into that if they're able to have conversations with you. And if you are concerned, kind of trying to connect them to the right supports, whether it be through school or pediatrician or, you know, a mental health counseling center. And, you know, the other thing I would say is not just limiting smartphone use, but we have to replace that with something. We often think about it as opportunity cost. So what is the child doing instead? And again, kind of doing things where they can build relationships with others, not only with their family, but with their peers, where they can cultivate that, where they can cultivate a sense of competence. So trying out new activities of things that they might be good at. These are all great things to promote their well-being. And they'll be spending time doing that and less time on maybe video games or phones or things like that. So really thinking about how they're spending the hours in their day, and it doesn't mean the smartphone is evil. It's about what else are they doing that can help promote their well-being to buffer against any of that. And of course, if you're really concerned, seek out help and resources.
And Melissa Whitson, I want to thank you so much for giving us this perspective and diving into this and going beyond the headlines, if you will. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm happy to do it.
All right. And again, Melissa Whitson, who is a professor of psychology at UNH, right here on Melissa in the Morning.